This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on our Friday edition on WWL Saints Radio, and happy to welcome in one of the newest members of the Black and Gold Saints safety, Justin Reed, joining us here on WWL. Thanks so much for the time, Justin. How you been doing?
Oh, man, great. Just awesome. Appreciate you guys allowing me to come on board. Can't wait to talk to all of the Saints out there.
Definitely appreciate it, man. Me and my counterpart here, Jeff, were at your introductory press conference at the Saints facility earlier in the month. And just to feel that excitement from you about being back in Louisiana was really refreshing. Getting to soak in a little bit more. How are you and the family adjusting knowing you're going to be back in the boot?
I think that I have a little bit of an easier transition than most guys. I already know the area so well, already have so much family there that the transition's pretty much streamlined. I already am closing on my residence in the next 3 days because I already knew exactly what areas to look at, and I'm just excited to get down there, get in the building, get in Coach Staley's system and start getting to work.
Yeah, Justin, I know you had your first kid recently. Congratulations, by the way. How's dad life treating you?
Sure, everyone who's a parent out there knows how those first couple of months are. Not sleeping very much, but it is so rewarding to see her, especially now she's starting to have a little bit more reactions and facial expressions, smiling a lot more. So that's just so rewarding to see that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, just in general, you know, has it settled in yet that, you know, you're going to be back in front of family? Like, I know when we talked to you, a month or so ago, it was kind of fresh. You were saying, hey, it took a couple days to settle in. Like, have you kind of had time to reflect on what it's going to mean walking into the Superdome for the first time with a Saints jersey on? Obviously, you've played there before. In terms of, hey, I play for the Saints now. This is where I am.
Yeah, you know, thought about it a little bit, but I don't think that it'll really hit until we start getting closer to that first preseason game and regular season games where I actually get to see my name on the back of the jersey and walk out to that crowd and hear the chant and really just get to feel the electricity and the atmosphere. So really looking forward to it. Right now it's just all about the work ethic mentality, being the dog in the weight room, being the dog in the film study. So that way, get guys at rally, we can all walk into the season extremely confident about what we're going to be able to go and do.
One thing about being back, though, Justin, I know you know the summers here well. Have you thought about Saints training camp?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty familiar with it. I was already telling my girl, is like, hey, when you walk outside in the middle of July, and it's like it doesn't matter. You can't hide from the sun whether you're in the shade or not. It's going to be like you're wearing a fur coat out there. So salt tablets would be a must. Electrolytes would be a must. you just get right back into it and just, you know, power through it. But that's really where the dogs are made at, is in those conditions, because if you're able to fight through that, then the game will be easy.
Yeah, if you can survive 100% humidity, you can survive just about anything. You know, one thing that I appreciate in your press conference, you mentioned T5 a couple times, and people around here might not know that nickname for Tyrann Mathieu because we go by Honey Badger. I always appreciate how nicknames exist in different places. You played with him on the Texans. You didn't play with him on the Chiefs, but you obviously spent time on the Chiefs as well. What are your memories of playing with Tyrann as a rookie, and what are your kind of expectations of rejoining him this year?
Yeah, just his leadership qualities. He was a guy that knew a ton of football, was a savvy vet, was able to go beyond the playbook, and just had a really, just a really gifted feel for the game as far as feeling out past concepts, developing, being able to do things outside of the playbook, but still within the structure of the defense to go out and make some plays. And then, quite possibly the most, the most powerful thing is just his the way that he's able to speak, his public speaking skills, as far as being a leader of men, and his pregame speeches get guys energized up and to buy into, feel like you're ready to run it through a wall to do whatever needs to be done to go out there and win, was really second to none.
You mentioned defensive coordinator Brandon Staley earlier, and just curious if you've gotten to speak with him much, and what do you know about his defense coming to New Orleans?
Yeah, that is dynamic. I was actually on football with Derwin a couple of days ago. We talked a little bit about how he used Derwin, and then he's building a tape to show some ways how he's going to use me too. And it's going to be different, but it's going to be really exciting because he's going to, you know, try and put guys in positions to make some plays. So excited about getting into it. Excited about actually being allowed to go out and talk football with them, because especially when you're on a new team, that's really all you really want to do is get down there and just get to it, you know.
Yeah, I think most people don't realize how many rules there are about, you know, actually like football conversations in the off season and stuff like that. It is kind of an interesting thing. But I am curious, you know, one thing that I've noticed about his defense is he likes to disguise a lot. And at the safety position, more so than maybe any other, you have a lot to do with that, whether you're disguising, you know, single high, whatever kind of coverage you're in. Yeah, you know, how do you feel about that part of the game? Do you think that's a, you know, confusing a quarterback, showing a quarterback one look, and getting into another? What are your thoughts on that concept in general?
Yeah, I think that that's one of my strengths. I think one of my strengths is being able to hold looks and organize the defense and talk to my partner safety as well as other DBs and be able to get guys on the same page so that we can present a different look that the quarterback might not be prepared for. Because this game, in this day and age, like, you're the best quarterbacks in the league, you know, your Patrick Mahomes, your Jalen Herberts, your Justin Herberts, all of these guys, if you tell them what coverage you're in, they're just going to pick you apart, right? So if you're able to cause some confusion to make them have some post-snap reads, that's really where all the turnovers that they play happen, because quarterbacks holding on to the ball a little bit longer, D-line, Cam Jordan, Chase Young, so have a longer, have another second to get home. And then quarterback might make some errant throws that you're able to turn into some interceptions. So disguising this league is critical, I think, to defensive success. So, yeah, it's good that that's one of the things we talked about when he was recruiting me, was that it will be a good fit in order to present these looks and not just give away the defenses to the quarterback and opposing teams.
Justin, recently oddsmakers put out the projected win totals for teams in the NFL. Saints coming in just at 5.5. Is that something you guys as players pay attention to, can use it as bulletin board material, or is that really overrated and something maybe that we just talk about in the media?
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't mean anything to anybody outside the locker room. Like, the locker room, we know what we're capable of, and, you know, I'm with the Saints now, and it's about the Saints, but just for example standpoint, the last 2 years with the Chiefs, we were picked to be the last in the division. We were picked not to go back to the Super Bowl, and we went to 3 straight Super Bowls. So, you know, all of that is just, you know, you can call it whatever you want, hearsay. Some guys use it. If a guy does want to listen to media and he wants to use it as motivation, then great. Let that be your fuel for your fire to get you to go out there and play harder. But at the end of the day, it's on the men that's on the field. And whatever Vegas says, whatever these predictions are, don't mean anything. What matters is what the guys in the locker room and the coaching staff believe.
You know, you brought up the run with the Chiefs, the 2 championships you got back this year. I'm just curious, as you get some distance, some perspective from that, how do you view that run? And I think when you're in it, I'm sure it was hard to kind of get an idea of, like, we just accomplished something incredible. And obviously losing the Super Bowl, I think it would be really easy to lose perspective that, hey, you know, you're the first team to ever get back for the three-peat. You know, there's been other teams trying to get to a third Super Bowl. They didn't get there. You know, the Chiefs did. Obviously, it didn't go your way. But, you know, what is kind of your thoughts on that stretch now that you can kind of look back on it and assess it?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, that the end game is in mind, We know that every team at the beginning of the season wants to go to that championship. You know that that's an end game in mind, and that should be on your bulletin board or whatever it is. That's the standard. But the way that you get there is one game at a time, and it's putting out your best week in and week out, taking no games off, no thinking that this game is already lost or already won, whatever it is, and expecting that every game will be tough. There were no easy games in any of those 3 years I was with the Chiefs. Because they're all, you're playing against the NFL. It's the best of the best in the entire world. But if you approach it that way, and you approach it that you prepare to play your best ball week in and week out, it gives you the best chance to go out and do it. So you don't get hung up on mistakes. You have a process that you're always building towards. You want to be playing your best ball as you get to the postseason. You don't want to peak too soon. So it's okay to make mistakes during the season as long as every step is working towards that goal and you're focusing on it one game at a time.
Yeah, and just kind of going into that a little bit more, you know, Steve, we know Steve Spagnuolo here. He had a year as a defense coordinator. It didn't go particularly well, but, you know, he's kind of reemerged as that guy over the last, you know, however many years. I've lost track with the Chiefs. What is it about him that has allowed him to kind of turn that defense into such a dominant group? And, you know, what are kind of your takeaways in general of why that defense has been so effective in his span there?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things is what we just mentioned earlier, and that's disguises. I mean, Coach Spags, we spend a ton of time on disguises and presenting looks to confuse quarterbacks so that it gave opportunities to go out and make plays. Like, we didn't sit in one coverage. We didn't sit in one look. We tried to make it as difficult as possible on opposing teams, and that allowed us to create some pressure. And then other than that, it's having cerebral players that can handle the playbook. Myself, Nick Bolton, Trent McDuffie, whatever it is. Same type of guys that we'll have with the Saints, but having guys that can handle the playbook and don't make mental errors and give up explosives. So disguises, no explosive plays, and physical DBs, because every team wants to run the ball to the corner. But if your corners are cutting people in half, then there is no run game. The run game doesn't exist. And then you force them into a one-dimensional offense, and then your defensive line can go eat, and your DBs and linebackers can go eat in the coverage system too. So all of those pieces add up to the formula, and you just put them together, and then, you know, the magic just happens.
Justin, I know fans know you as a smart, tough guy that loves to lower the boom on the field, but what about away from the game of football? I know you've recently just joined the ranks of the dad life, but what are some things that Justin Reed enjoys doing away from football?
Yeah, favorite hobbies. I like chess. I really like playing golf. I got the golf bug pretty bad. I'm actually out on the course right now because I just love to go play. And then, man, that's really I do that, and I do a little bit of real estate too. So those are the four phases of my life, man. I never get tired of it. And, like, I'm a guy that eats the same breakfast day in and day out, and I never get sick of it. And doing these four things, football, golf, chess, and real estate, I just never get enough of it.
What's the goal score today?
If I'm shooting in the 80s, I got a good feeling about it.
All right, that's good.
I feel
that's
good about being rich.
Yeah, you know, I guess it, you know, in just in general, just one last question, you know, for fans who aren't familiar with your game, you know, obviously a lot of locals will know your brother from LSU. You obviously went out to Stanford, so didn't see as many of those games. What should someone walking into the Superdome expect to experience when they watch Justin Reed out on the field for the first time?
Oh, probably that guy when you turn on, you know, 2005 Madden and everyone just loved using the hit stick all the time.
Yeah.
A guy like that, like you said, or a guy who I feed on physicality. I love physical games. I love punishing wide receivers. They do try and block me, or I want them to be thinking about me when they're running their routes to the middle of the field. And, you know, maybe that causes a drop pass or a tip ball that turns to an interception. But pride myself on that, and then also pride myself on being a big communicator on the field. No mental errors on my side of the field because, you know, we just don't make those mistakes. So having guys in the right position and then making the plays that just are put there for you, don't miss the layups.
Justin Reed, new Saints safety, definitely appreciate the time. Enjoy the golf game today, and definitely looking forward to seeing you at practices come off-season workouts. Congrats, my man.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Justin.
That was Justin Reed, Saints safety, joining us right here on WWL.